Applying this doctrine of substantial causes and cooperative conditions to conception, we can see that the substances of mother and father, ovum and sperm, act as the substantial causes of the body of the child and act as the cooperating conditions of the mind. The last moment of that child's consciousness in its previous life acts as the substantial cause of consciousness at the moment of conception and acts as a cooperating condition of the body. Just as on a coarse level the body, even the embryo, is considered to be the physical support of consciousness, so the wind on which consciousness is mounted, like a rider on a horse, is a physical entity that supports consciousness. Although consciousness can separate from the physical body, as it does when we pass from one lifetime to another, consciousness can never separate from the subtlest level of wind. I do not think that the very subtle wind or energy can be classified as one of the four elements, earth, water, fire, and wind, since it is beyond physical particles. The very subtle wind is one aspect of the movement of very subtle mind. It is the same entity as its respective mind. It would be difficult to analyze very subtle wind and mind with scientific instruments. However, it might be possible to scientifically detect the presence of very subtle wind and mind in cases of clinical death, but before the exit of consciousness from the body, when the body has still not decomposed. A few scientists brought some machines to our hospital, but while they were here, no one died. And then when spiritually experienced persons died, the machines were not available. When wind, or the energy on which the various levels of consciousness ride, becomes very weak and dissolves more fully into consciousness, subtler and subtler levels of mind manifest. At the beginning of the fourth phase, when the winds that serve as the mounts of the many attitudes begin to dissolve, there appears to the mind an image like the flame of a butter lamp or of a candle, flickering at first and then steady. The outer breath ceases. The world generally considers this to be the moment of death, though it is actually later. At this stage, grosser levels of the appearance of subject and object as distant and cut off into separate entities dissolve. The eye does not see visible forms. The ear does not hear sounds. The nose does not smell odors. The tongue does not experience tastes. And the body does not feel tangible objects. The luminous and knowing nature of the mind emerges nakedly. If you are able to be mindful at death by recognizing the signs of the stages of dissolution and maintaining introspection enough to strive at whatever level of virtue you know, your practice will be very powerful. At the very least, it will positively affect your next life.